Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Basketball capital of the world, baby.
It is.
South Florida, basketball capital of the world right now.
Everybody wants to be in Miami.
Canes women tonight. Heat on Wednesday, Solana. Heat Knicks Wednesday.
Yes, sir.
FAU on Thursday. UM on Friday. I mean, honestly, come on. So Eric Reed's on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Eric Reed, longtime play-by-play man for the Miami Heat on Bally Sports Sun. He is a huge South Florida basketball fan. And, man, with all that going on, I figured he would be perfect to speak with today. And so, Eric Reed, I mean, South Florida, this is a literal hotbed of hoops right now.
You know what, Hawk? It's really such a great time for the sport in South Florida. And I can remember back as a kid coming down on a winter vacation one time, and my dad took me to an ABA Miami Floridians game. And I think that came at a time, remember there was a time where there was no pro basketball here after the Floridians closed down. The University of Miami, for a long period of time, dropped college basketball as a sport. So when the Heat came to life in 1988, it was, you know, we felt like pioneers, you know, on a new path. And to see it 35 years later, how far the sport has come here, it's really a great thing. I mean, I think there were six teams in Dade and Broward that won state championships on the high school level. You know, what you're seeing from the Miami Hurricanes and FAU right now, listen, every March I'm brought back to my March, which was the 1987 Providence team I was doing radio for that went to a Final Four with Rick Pitino as their coach and Billy Donovan as their point guard. So every year at this time, I get reminded of that dream journey that I got to go on, and you feel good when others get to do that same thing. And, you know, Coach Larrañaga taking UM to a second straight Sweet 16, he has built this winning tradition where there was not much of it. You know, Leonard Hamilton did a great job, you know, for a long period of time, but Coach Larrañaga has taken this program to, you know, unprecedented heights. And Hawk, you know me, I'm a Boca guy. Dusty May lives in my neighborhood. I've had an interest in his program, you know, for a few years now, because, you know, they've had so many bigger name coaches come in there and not win. And this guy, you know, quietly over his first 4 years has built a program and has consistently won. But to see them in the Sweet 16 now is the best thing about the NCAA tournament, that teams and stories like this emerge every March. And just so happy for both of those programs. And we're feeling that Boca glow right now, Hawk. This,
yeah,
you know, this program that was sort of put on the map by Lane Kiffin a few years ago, that they could be, you know, a power in one way or another. And when Lane was here, they had it going in football. And now Dusty's got them going to the Garden in the Sweet 16. Really a cool thing.
And Reed, you talk about the coaches and Dusty. You know, he just came on the scene. I just learned his name about 3 days ago. But even Spo and Coach L and Katie Meyer and all, I don't believe that there's a basketball coach in South Florida that's respected the way they should be nationally. Why is that?
Well, I don't know. You know, listen, Jim Larrañaga, if you follow college basketball, and you don't have respect for him, then you probably don't follow college basketball. The guy's done it for a long period of time and has had success everywhere he's been. You know, remember what he did at George Mason and his March surprises down there. And, you know, just, you know what I love about both Jimmy and Coach May? The way their players respond to them. And there's basketball love in the air in both programs. So, you know, both guys recruit good players, and both programs have a great feeling about them. And it's such a great spot. It's just such a great spot for these programs to be in right now. And I'm even happy for Joe Zagacki and Ken Lavica, the two radio voices of the respective programs, to get to call games that mean this much to their passionate fan bases.
Yeah, 100%. I think of everybody that gets associated with any kind of program, and you know, it's exciting for them as well. Your Miami Heat, and I was saying to Solana and Crowder, you know, when the show began today, would have felt a little bit different today had they not been able to come back against Detroit. But the Heat, they sit one game back of Brooklyn now for the sixth seed. So how much would it mean to grab the sixth seed and avoid the play-in game?
Well, I think it would mean a lot. The first thing it would mean, Hawk, is that you've ended the season really well, and you always want to go into the postseason on that uptick and feeling good about you know, the momentum you're carrying into the postseason. It might carry over, it might not, but you'd rather have that than not have it. And like Spo told his team, you know, after last night's game, and listen, after you lose to Chicago, you feel like, damn, you know, another opportunity to get closer to Brooklyn, you let slip away. But then before the Heat play at Detroit last night, you see Denver beat Brooklyn, and you realize if the Heat beat the Pistons, you're going to be a game back, and you have Brooklyn coming in on Saturday. And guess what Brooklyn has before that? They got to play Cleveland Tuesday and Thursday. Both games are in Brooklyn, but Cleveland's obviously a very good team, and those are two difficult games. So, you know, what I love about it for the Heat, and we've had a whole season of it's been up and down and closer to mediocre than anybody in the Heat family would ever want the program to be in. But it looks like they're finding their game at the right time, and to be 73 games in and just a game back and some control of your own destiny. We've had a whole year of close games, and now you've got the two biggest games of the season back-to-back at home with the Knicks coming here on Wednesday, and they've had a very good year. The Nets, you know, no pity party after trading away two of the game's premier players in Durant and Kyrie Irving. I think they have a lower ceiling than they had with those two guys, obviously, but they're still a good team and not an easy out. So we'll be watching what they do Tuesday and Thursday against the Cavs, and the Heat will try to take care of their business Wednesday against the Knicks. Both of those games, Hawk and Crowder, are going to, you know, you want to get ready for the playoffs. These games feel like they're playoff games already.
Oh, and I'm with you. And what do you need to see to, you know, like you said, at the end of the season, you want to be on that high? What do the Heat need to show you as you watch the games to let you know they're ready, hopefully for the playoffs, not to play in, but either way, that they're ready to take on their challenge?
You know, it is, Jenny, it's putting it all together. Your offense with your defense. You know, the Heat all season long have been good defensively. I mean, they're number two in points allowed for the season. So the defense, for the most part, has been good enough to win with. The offense is where they've struggled. I mean, they're still last in the league in scoring and near the bottom in three-point percentage and field goal percentage. Yet, if you look at the last 9 or 10 games, it's been much better. And now you don't want to compromise your defense because your offense is playing better. And, of course, you need four quarters in every game. I mean, when you get to the playoffs, you can't play half a game and win. So the time for that is now. I mean, they struggled a little bit last night, but they put it together in the second and then a really great fourth quarter. And you know what it is right now? You follow your leaders. You know this, Channing. I mean, Jimmy Butler is as good a finisher, and I love watching him play because he's plays so hard every night. He's so wired to one thing, winning. And that's what makes, Yeah, that's why you know at the beginning of the season you are excited about the possibility of having guys like Jimmy and Kyle and Bam. They're winners first before they are anything else. That's what they care about doing. And as much as that sounds like it should be with every player, it's just not. Some guys put other things ahead of winning, unfortunately, but those guys don't. And to see Jimmy left, he took two shots in the first half, had eight assists. Took nine shots in the second half. He and Hero ignited that fourth quarter. And Hero, you know, this young emerging talent that he is, we've seen so many times this year where he's having a poor shooting night and he makes the biggest three of the game. He did it once when he was 1 for 9. Last night he was 1 for 7, made that huge three, and made a couple of them in the fourth quarter at money time. You can't teach that. Thank goodness for the Heat, Tyler Hero has that. And Bam, you know, his only dip in the season was a little bit, maybe 5, 6, 7 games after the All-Star break. But he's got it rolling again now, too. And he's one of the best two-way players in the league. What he does offensively for you, he's basically a 20-10 guy on offense. And defense, he's one of the most versatile and valuable defenders in the league. So having Kyle back helps. Spo is doing an excellent, other than the first game he had him at Orlando when he played him 36 minutes. You know, he's bringing him off the bench. It enables Coach Spo to control Kyle's minutes. And what I loved about it last night, he played a little over 20 minutes, right? He played the whole fourth quarter. And, you know, whether you love Kyle or not, I think in his absence, you understand what he means to the Heat. It was interesting to hear Dwayne Casey, the Pistons coach last night, who coached Kyle in Toronto. He said Kyle Lowry can play as long as he wants in this league because of his mind, his IQ, his leadership ability, the way he quarterbacks a team. He's truly a coach on the floor. He is that. So a healthier version of Lowry down the stretch and into the playoffs, trust me, it is a very good thing for this team.
How about my beloved Duncan Robinson? We're starting to see the playoff rotation. We're starting to see the rotation tighten up, and I have a feeling I'm not going to see my beloved Duncan Robinson out there as part of it.
Pop in some tapes from last year, Hawk, all right?
Talk me off the ledge.
Give you and Duncan, you know what you both got to do?
You
got to do what Duncan's already doing. Right now, he's on the outside edge of that rotation. And by the way, Victor Oladipo might be in the same spot. It does tighten up as you get to the playoffs, and you're basically going to play 8, 9 guys tops. But Duncan is a professional basketball player who prides himself on what he does. Nothing's changed in terms of his ability to shoot the ball. He can do that. He's got to just stay ready. And when your number's called, you never know when that's going to be. You got to come in and make shots and help your team. So Duncan's going to have no problem doing that. Hawk, I hope you're going to be in the same boat as him.
Eric, just going back a couple minutes ago, you talked about this team being in a spot in terms of mediocrity, which obviously – nobody in the organization wants them to be in. And you mentioned the word up and down all season. You've covered this team as close as anybody has. Can you recall another season like this where they go from being the best three-point shooting team last season to this year being in the bottom half of the league? They were the top 5 defense going into the All-Star break. Now their offense is getting a little better, and it seems like their defense is regressing a touch. Can you recall another season like this where – it just doesn't make sense. None of it makes sense. Ups, downs, and inconsistencies from guys that were used to being consistent.
Well, I can't, Solana, pick out a specific season off the top of my head. But, yeah, you know, this is our 35th season of being able to enjoy Heat basketball with Heat Nation. There have been seasons like this before. But the most difficult thing to explain about this season is probably what you just touched on, the three-point shooting. From best in the league in percentage last year to, you know, 26th or 27th right now, depending on when you look. And basically the same cast other than PJ Tucker. Now, I think when you take a deeper dive into it, you know, there's a wide variety of opinions on threes. Obviously, we know how important it is in the league right now. It's the number one weapon. Coach a few years ago put it best to me. It resonated when James Borrego told me, you can't fight the math of three-point shooting. And this year, the Heat have been out-threed by over 100 threes. That's a lot of points to make up. Now, Miami's making up much of it at the free throw line, especially recently. And when you got players like Butler and Bam that get there, that helps offset it. But it's hard to explain the dramatic drop-off in percentage this year. I believe there's, and I know there's a lot of other people that do as well, it's not just, you have to take a certain amount, but it's more than quantity of your three-point attempts. How about the quality of your three-point attempts? And, you know, as a viewer and you know, somebody that's trying to be objective as we watch these games, I like it when you see the drive and kick, and the more paint touches you have inside out, that's when you get your three-point shooters in rhythm, in balance, with space. And I think if you look at paint touches that lead to threes and driving kicks that lead to threes, that's been Miami's best way to collect threes. So, again, having Kyle back helps in that regard, and the Heat understand what they have to do. Now it's just a matter of trying to get to it and hoping, you know, it's twofold. You know, in the league right now, you better make your share of threes, and you got to try to stop them. And if you're not doing either, it gets harder to win, of course.
And Erie, as you talk about the stats, pretty much the numbers of it, where they're number two in scoring defense, but they're in the lower tier of offense. Like, at some point, do you sacrifice? Do you say, hey, I could be 10 in scoring defense and I can get to 15 in offense, where a Duncan, we know he doesn't play good defense, but hell, he can give us threes, or just change the rotation offensively minded?
Well, Crowder, that's the funny thing about, you know, scoring defense. You know, my old partner, the late, great Dr. Jack Ramsey, he believed this a long time ago, and I still hold on to this one. Field goal percentage defense is you know, like a really true indicator of the quality of your defense, because you could give up more points if you're scoring more. And chances are your scoring defense, is that number's going to go up. The more you score, the game might tend to be higher scoring. So you could give up more points as long as you're scoring it. But in a league where, you know, teams are regularly getting to 120, you know, the Heat's last in the league at 109 a game. It's a little mind-numbing to think that 109 is last in the league, but it shows you how the league has changed and how three-point shooting has transformed it. So it's a tough time to not shoot the three ball well, especially, you know, if you have difficulties defending it. So, you know, it's a blend, Crowder. I think the most positive thing coming down the stretch here is the offense is getting better. And I think it's more important, you know, what I would watch defensively is not how many points we give up, how disruptive, how active is that defense? Because the Heat have had their best success this year when they're forcing turnovers, which limits the other team's shot opportunities and gets you points off turnovers. Miami is, you know, third in the league, scoring 18 points a game off turnovers. And for a team that has struggled to score, that has been, you know, a key supply of points. So, you know, the improved offense, getting back to that disruptive defense, and you know what you're saying? Like, look at Caleb Martin's story. I love it, and I had a chance to sort of quietly congratulate Caleb for the unselfish and seamless transition he's made. Started 49 games this year. They bring Kevin Love in. He now comes off the bench, but rather than starting games, he's finishing them. And, you know, I've talked to players in the league, including John Crotty, my partner. You know, given a choice, I'd be interested in your opinion on this too, Crowder, of, you know, what would you rather be, a starter or a finisher? And Martin now is a finisher. And why is he finishing games? That defensive energy and getting to the loose balls. Everybody's going to remember that corner three by Tyler Hero last night at Detroit. If Caleb Martin's not in there to grab that offensive rebound and make a great hustle play and pass, then that shot doesn't even happen. So it takes all of your players and all the individual efforts they can bring, and you try to bring it together and win as many of these games down the stretch. But with all the ups and downs, to be a game behind Brooklyn with nine games left and having the Knicks and the Nets coming in here next, I'd say overall it's a very good position to be in and one that I'm glad the Heat are in.
Oh, and to answer your question, my man who's finally in the Hall of Fame this year, Zach Thomas, told me early in my career, nobody remembers a first quarter tackle. everybody remembers the fourth quarter sack to win the game or the interception. That, we said, E. Reed, that's how you get paid. Tackles don't get you paid. Big plays and game-changing plays get you paid.
That's right. The fourth, everybody wants to be in there when the game is being decided. Not to diminish anything that happens early, but, yeah, I was interested in your opinion on that one.
Yeah. I made a lot of first quarter tackles, though, E. Reed.
He wanted to be a starter because he was always interested in the ladies. And the ladies, they're looking for who runs out there when the game gets underway. I think Crowder, if given his choice, would have chosen to be a starter, not a finisher.
Yeah, and the check is a little better on that front end. I just have to say, you know, I'm selfish. I'm sorry.
Eric Reed is with us, and you can hear him, watch him Wednesday, Heat and Knicks, Bally Sports Sun. And he's a very proud Boca Ratonian, as he mentioned, just like I am. Let's just relish here for a moment, E. Reed, the eyes of the basketball world noticing Boca Raton as a basketball powerhouse.
I keep tweeting out little things about Dusty and his team. Kings of Boca. Listen, I'm so glad the Heat have two big home games, and just as glad that they're Wednesday and Saturday, so we can sit back and watch the Owls on Thursday night and the Hurricanes on Friday night. And, you know, the craziest thing about the tournament is it gets so much better for you so fast that it could be mind-numbing. And it is wonderful to see it happen in two places right here in South Florida. Great time for basketball in our part of the state.
How should we capitalize on this in Boca? What do we need to bring back? I think the eyes of the world are upon us. I'd like to have Bruzy back on Glades Road. I think that's a Shonda that went out of business. I wouldn't mind Houlihan's back at the old Crocker Center. What do we need to bring? Wilt Chamberlain's? E. Reed on Glades?
Now, listen, I'm not trying to – I don't want to go backwards, right? Like, you go into the borough now, which, you know, years ago you walk into an FAU game and, right, it's not the greatest environment. A lot of empty seats. I went to a game this year. You couldn't find an empty seat. What they've done this year, they have put FAU – basketball on the map in a way that it has never been. And it's not only good for the players and the coaching staff and the athletic department of that program, it's good for the university. It's good for Boca Raton. And it's good for those wannabe Cinderellas everywhere. And it is both the wonderful part of this tournament and also the painful part when you're on the losing end. You know, we had a chance to talk with Billy Donovan when we're in Chicago, the coach of the Bulls, who was the point guard on that Providence team that took me to a Final Four in 87, won two national championships with the Gators as their head coach back to back. And when I asked him before the game what tournament memories come back to him at this time of year, you know that all he could talk about were the losses and the painful eliminations. But it only ends well for one team a year in every sport. And it's amazing to me how most of the participants, you sort of remember the pain of those elimination games more than the joy of the times where you win. It's a weird thing.
Well, fingers crossed that we get some more winning. Hopefully, starting tonight with the women's Canes basketball team, and hopefully the miracle FAU run continues, and Jim Larrañaga does his thing on Friday. We got some winning left. Crowder, probably
remember. Yeah, I hope so, because
Florida,
you get this deep, it's human nature, you want more. So one step at a time, but for all of us, enjoy the ride with these two programs right now.
Crowder
is a beautiful
thing. Really enjoy it. As you know, Florida's not really a basketball powerhouse any longer. You had your time, yeah. Crowder.
This Billy Donovan wants to go to the NBA. I don't even bring him up, E. Reed. He left us high
Dusty
and dry.
Dusty May was a UF assistant, by the way, for Mike White.
Look at that. Yes. Got a UF tie-in with FAU.
I want Billy back. And where are y'all going to have the party if y'all win?
Hey, listen, right now, Billy's name's getting thrown around in Providence. Like, what's going on in New York right now in the Northeast is crazy, where St. John's is about to hire Rick Pitino, or already have. And Ed Cooley, a Providence native, is leaving Providence College to take the job at Georgetown. So the chess pieces are changing, and it is a super interesting time in college basketball right now.
Hmm. Have you driven on this new diverging diamond interchange on Glades?
Ooh, sore terrible subject. See, I like to get on 95 on Glades, Hawk. You know why. You get right on the express lane. But that new situation there,
terrible.
They need to work some kinks out, buddy. That's problematic.
Yeah, it's a boondoggle. It's supposed to make things easier, and it's made it more difficult. And I know Mayor Scott Singer listens to the show. Mayor, if you hear me, let's get that diverging diamond fixed here because we're having our issues. I get on 95
okay,
now.
Listen,
on Palmetto.
Off the air, I got a shortcut, but I will only share that with you off the air.
Oh, all right. What, a Spanish River?
No.
All right.
Just a little trick we've learned on a few of our Boca to Miami-Dade Arena journeys, okay?
Oh, I need that.
Are we voicing Boca criticisms? Because y'all don't carry big enough sizes. Everything stops
at
a large.
No, we don't. No criticism, man. We got the bright line within walking distance from where we live. It's all good. But that little diamond interchange needs a little work.
Oh, but I mean, E-Reed, you have a whole mall full of smalls and mediums. It was like, why am I going?
Eric Reed, thanks for making time for us, E-Reed.
Thanks, guys.
There you go, Eric Reed. This diverging diamond, man. I don't know what they were thinking.
What is it? It sounds good. The name.
It sounds
cool.
Impressive, and apparently this is the way of traffic for the future. So on Glades, when you're heading east, Glades actually takes you to the left side of the road. So you're driving on the left side. If you're heading west, it takes you to the right side of the road, and then it creates a diamond where they cross over each other. It sounds real cutesy until you get on there. You go, this didn't save me any time, and nobody knows where the hell they're going.
I've drove on the left side one time in Turks and Caicos and I almost killed three people. Yeah, I don't like it.
Now you get it on Glades Road. Diverging diamond. You should have spent the money getting Bruzy and Houlihan's and Wilt Chamberlain's back and Pete Rose Ballpark Cafe.
You got a lot of them.
I do.
O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.